It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown.
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible.
Older than I'm white.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is going to be huge.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Just when I think you said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Here I go again.
Here we go, taking you home on a Thursday. Four down, one to go with this work week. It is the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Adam Lundy, and we've got you connected on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Of course, the perfect man food, macaroni and cheese. And you know what? Not only is it the flavor, the consistency, you can throw your extra meat toppings into it, but it takes like 60 seconds to make. Any man can make themselves a mac and cheese dinner straight from the box, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the bare minimum. I mean, if you can't make a box of mac and cheese.
We all love the homemade macaroni and cheese.
Of course.
But, you know, in emergency situations, we just pop a box, boil it up. We're ready to go.
Boom, boom.
46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line 46862. The Masters Tournament taking place. It has officially started today, and it's Bryson DeChambeau who makes the early statement, going 7-under, shooting a 65. He is clear of everyone else in the field by 3 shots at this point.
Yeah, impressive start for the big swinger, Bryson.
Scottie Scheffler, one of the favorites. He is he's making his run through 13 holes. He's 4-under par. Taking a look at some of the other names, Will Zalatoris, he is 3-under through 14. Also, you've got Victor Hovland, 2-under through 11, although he gave a stroke back. Wasn't he at 3-under? Who else we got on the leaderboard?
Woods still at -1 through 3.
With Tony Finau also -1, but he's through 17.
Yeah.
Rory is also -1 through 13.
Sergio Garcia, even after his first round, shot a 72.
But we'll try to keep you up to date. Top of the leaderboard once again, Bryson DeChambeau. And, of course, all weekend long, we've got Masters updates that will fire your way.
Yeah.
So you can get those 2 to 3 minute updates right here.
Love it.
Almost once an hour.
I like the little music that plays before.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh,
the
yeah.
little piano music.
Oh, yeah. It's really calm. And
yeah. It's
that's it's golf.
That's the Masters music.
And, absolutely.
You know, the only thing you need to add the birds chirping in the background.
And you've the got azaleas.
And you've got the perfect setup for the Masters updates. But we'll have them for you all weekend long. So, you know, if you can't watch it, you can't stream it, you can't see it on TV, just keep the radio close by. And at least once an hour, we're going to be keeping you updated on what's happening at the Masters. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Big news today. After it seemed last night to be almost a done deal, everybody tracking planes, everybody reporting that the offer is on the table, Scott Drew woke up today and said no to Kentucky. And you believe that he has turned down Louisville and Kentucky in the last couple of weeks?
That's pretty impressive.
A couple of powerful jobs, and Scott Drew decided that there was still work to do at Baylor, and the family, I think, is very content. And remember, he's got a daughter that goes to Baylor. He's got kids that are in high school. I think his kids have only known the Waco community, and perhaps he just doesn't feel the timing is right. Maybe he's looked at the roster and realizes, man, that's going to be a lot of work. We're set here at Baylor, and I got to go there and build an entire roster and work the portal and work to bring in any last-minute recruits. But regardless of the circumstances, maybe his family just didn't like Lexington. Because there was some thought that his family was going to have to buy in to living in Lexington, Kentucky, and I think they love it in Waco. And then, of course, remember at Waco, you've got Chip Gaines. Anybody that didn't follow him on Twitter last night missed the show. He was quite active on Twitter talking to Big Blue Nation. And Scott Drew is going to stay at Baylor. And that brings us to the question, who is willing to accept the job in Lexington? Can you believe Kentucky is having this much trouble finding? First of all, they got turned down by Dan Hurley. Then they get turned down by Scott Drew. Who's next on the list?
Yeah, they also got a no from Nate Oates.
And Nate Oates, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they are 0 for their first three. Who'd have thought Kentucky would have to go to their fourth or fifth choice? And a lot of people are thinking, could it be Bruce Pearl? Could he be the next one in line?
Yeah, so I'm reading the article here. Names such as Auburn's Bruce Pearl, Illinois' Brad Underwood, Xavier's Sean Miller, Florida's Todd Golden, Iowa State's T.J. Otzelberger, and BYU's Mark Pope would appear to emerge as the next tier.
Who would be your favorite out of that? Who do you think is the best of that of hire out of that? I'll tell you who I think. Give it to Otzelberger.
All right.
All he's done is win three different places. And it wasn't like he went in to great situations. It wasn't like they were power programs when he showed up and he just had to maintain the bar. He's a little younger than a couple of the others. Now, I know very little about the coach at Florida, so I can't really speak too much on him. Sean Miller, that would be, to me, kind of crazy to trust your program to Sean Miller.
Yeah. Text on the text line, they said, would it be a surprise if they went after Micah Shrewsbury?
Yes.
I think so, too.
If he'd have gone in and immediately had success at Notre Dame, but he's rebuilding at Notre Dame and the success hasn't come yet. I don't think this. First of all, let me tell you this. The athletic director is going to be putting his neck on the line with this hire. And for Mr. Barnhart, he's got to make a decision that Big Blue Nation is going to support. Even if it's not their favorite choice or, you know, the candidate that they most want, it's got to be something that Big Blue Nation doesn't turn against the athletic director.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you're talking about donors, you're talking about ticket buyers, you're talking social media impacts, and that's a very, very involved fan base. So I think it's got to be a guy that's going to win the press conference, but they're starting to run out of those guys. Bruce Pearl, I think his personality can win the press conference, but is he the best coach among that list? Brad Underwood? If I'm Illinois, I'd say take him. But the only problem is then you're looking for a coach, and it's really almost outside the window of coaching hires.
Yeah, it's getting late.
A lot of the new up-and-coming young coaches that are being pulled up from the mid-majors, they've already been hired.
Yeah.
And so you look at Louisville hiring Pat Kelsey. You look at Michigan hiring Dusty May. Some of the young coaches that were the big names that might have been able to win a press conference, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got to lure somebody away from a big program. I don't think Mick Cronin would be a guy they would talk to. I'm just trying to think of other names that might be out there that no one's mentioned.
Yeah, and it's just like you said.
Do you think there's any shot at Mark Few?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I don't know if he would want to come into that.
Seems so locked in at Gonzaga. He's basically there for life. He never, doesn't really. I mean, yeah, you got pressure because it's kind of self-imposed pressure. It's a pressure that you put on yourself by raising the bar so high.
Right.
But it's totally different, the pressure you're going to feel at a Kentucky.
Yeah, different conference. It's so different at Kentucky.
Gonzaga, theoretically, they're still a mid-major.
Theoretically, yes.
I mean, that's the crazy thing is that Gonzaga is a mid-major playing, one of the, secondary high major programs, but they're not in the Pac-12. They're not in the Big 12. They're not in the SEC. They're not in the ACC. They're not in the Big 10. They're not in the Big East. But, it's it's interesting to at least think. I wonder if he's been contacted or do people, because I think the two coaches people assume would never have interest would be Matt Painter and Mark Few. And you wonder if they even made the call.
You got to wonder, like we were talking about Matt Painter maybe going there and during the break, and I kind of felt like there's just no way that he would do that.
I mean, it looks like right now you're going through the checklist of the best teams from this year, and you're going number one, UConn. Now he said no. Final Four team, Alabama, they said no. You went for Baylor. Now, Baylor wasn't in the Final Four, but they've had sustained success under Scott Drew, and he says no. And I think he was the closest one.
Yeah,
clearly. I mean, he went through the interview process. The family flew. Apparently, the family flew out to Lexington to take a look around and just kind of get a feel for the area. And the next day, Scott Drew says no to Kentucky.
Says no. Checking the text line at 46862, somebody said, if I were Kentucky, I would call Kevin Keats. He's better than that second tier. Kevin Keats at North Carolina State.
Who just about became available this offseason because he was on his way out until they had the late run and won the ACC tournament and then had their big run in the NCAA tournament to get to the Final Four. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Also news today, O.J. Simpson passes away from cancer. What is the legacy of O.J. Simpson?
Yeah, and I think that's one of those things that definitely varies by your age. You know, if you grew up watching him on, you know, USC, or if you grew up watching him in the NFL and then saw him, you know, kind of become a TV star and loved by all of America and then went through
that
whole...
That just means you're old.
That means you're old.
That means you're pretty old. You've been growing up for a long time, if you remember him at USC.
But for guys like me, I don't really think of him as anything other than a former football player.
Well, you weren't even around to witness the chase and the Bronco.
No, I just think of him as a former football player who got in a lot of trouble and now is just kind of was a controversial celebrity.
How crazy is that, Adam, that it's been that long ago?
Yeah.
That a guy like you wasn't even around when we watched the O.J. trial and the chase and the white Bronco?
None of it.
Unbelievable. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. So Coach Calipari officially introduced at Arkansas, and one of his first points of business was to have a team meeting, and so he organized a team meeting, and one guy showed up, a walk-on. Did you look at the Arkansas roster?
No, I did not.
They do not have a scholarship player. They don't have anyone officially on the Arkansas roster. No one.
Oh, my goodness.
I guess you want to talk about a rebuild. He's out. I mean, this is like wanting to build a home, and now you got to go out and find the lot. I mean, you've got nothing. Nothing.
That's crazy. All right, guys. I'm here. I'm excited and ready to meet you guys.
Yeah, let's. First point, I want to address the team. And here comes, you know, some guy with his notebook who
just came from economics class.
Khakis, button-down shirt, and pencil over his ear. So, yeah, Coach, what do we got?
I can go play for Arkansas. Shoot.
Oh,
hey,
no.
Cal.
No. What's the NIL? Yeah, and so he gets this big NIL budget. I guess he's going to need it because he's got to do a lot of recruiting.
Right. I wonder if we... I wonder if we see any of these Kentucky kids that have hit the transfer portal come spend some more time with Cal at the Razorbacks.
There's room. There's room at the end. They can certainly come. There's no problem there. But the other thing it also does, remember, you know, you got teams like Indiana that are trying to get a portal guy or two, maybe three. And all of a sudden now you've got Coach Cal at an Arkansas program that has nobody on their roster and a big pile of cash in the NIL. This may actually hurt a team like IU that believes they're going to get a real good shot at some of these guys out of the portal, and now all of a sudden these guys might be making a call down to Arkansas.
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy how things can just suddenly change now in the world of college sports. I mean, did you think that we would be talking about this, you know, just a few weeks ago?
No, we wouldn't be thinking about Arkansas having no players and Kentucky having no coach. That's, I mean, who would have thought that on April 11th, we would be sitting here and one of the topics is Arkansas has no players and Kentucky has no coach. Crazy, right?
It's very crazy.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to James Boyd from The Athletic, get the scoop on what the Colts are planning and where things are at for the Colts. James Boyd will join us. Also on the way, Eric Dutkiewicz. And at this point, no word from downtown on Tin Caps Baseball. We'll keep you abreast if we hear anything as far as the status of tonight's game. This is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Brett Rump with Adam Lundy. And joining us right now on our guest line from The Athletic. I'll tell you, it's been so long since we talked to him. I was having some James Boyd withdrawal symptoms. I thought, we got to get this guy on the show. James Boyd joins us. Hey, James, how are you, brother?
I'm doing good. Obviously excited for the draft coming up.
Yep, it is getting to be that time. And first of all, let's catch up a little bit with where the Colts are at, because all eyes on Anthony Richardson, his progress. I know he started throwing, but do we have any word at all about if there's been any setbacks, if it's all gone positive? What's the status of the Colts star quarterback?
Yeah, the latest I've heard was from Shane Steichen talking to him in Orlando a little while ago about Anthony, his health, and he was saying he's good, should be available to be throwing and participating in spring practice here. It'll be the first day we get to see him throw live in person. It'll be May 22nd, so Colts fans out there, circle that on your calendar. I'll have video of it, I'm sure. But I'm looking forward to just seeing him back out there. But so far, I mean, everything I've heard, you know, progress has been made, and pretty much he's back to throwing at full strength right now. It's just making sure that they monitor his workload.
James, one thing that I have made a point of is that if the Colts believe the roster was solid enough to bring almost everybody back, and they've tried to re-sign almost everybody to return, it is the perfect year for the Colts to be aggressive and go for quality over quantity in the draft. Because if you already have what you feel is a pretty complete roster, then you're just looking to plug a hole or two. You're not looking for multiple picks. That's totally out of character for Chris Ballard. We understand that, but does it make sense?
It makes sense. I think that I lean more towards your thinking as well, Brett, where I don't know if you should trade back to number 15. If there's a really good player there, if Quinyon Mitchell is there from Toledo, if Tyrion Arnold is there from Alabama, you need a cornerback, in my opinion. You get one of those guys, and you make sure that you have a potential day one starter on your roster and a game changer, because you look around the division, they've made a lot of these teams. Obviously, Houston has made a lot of outside upgrades. You felt that by Anthony being healthy, John Taylor being healthy, that you were right there. So add a player that's going to help you win right now and see where you can go.
What about position? You mentioned corner, and I heard some buzz that's reported around that the Colts have an eye on Brock Bowers. And it's so hard to decipher between somebody planting a seed of rumor and it being reported and what's actually fact, but that the Colts may be interested in moving up specifically for Brock Bowers. What do you hear?
I'll tell you this. A lot of teams like Brock Bowers. So I wouldn't feed too much into what the Colts are interested in, if they're going to move up. I think that it would have been easier to kind of decipher those things last year with them picking at number 4. But at number 15, too much can change before they even have a chance to pick. So I don't see them, you know, leaking information or trying to, you know, plant seeds. I think that's just sometimes people get a little overzealous this time of the year and want to report something when there's not really much to report. The bottom line is they like Brock Bowers. They probably like Brian Thomas Jr. as well. They probably like Tyrion Arnold and Quinyon Mitchell. They like a lot of guys right now, and the board can fall a lot of different ways, and we'll see how it goes, you know, Thursday night in a few weeks.
Are you a mock draft guy? Do you put together or draft up your own mock draft, or do you look at what everyone else is saying?
Oh, man, Brett's getting me to work. I actually work on my mock draft right now, my first 7-round one. That'll be coming out sometime early next week, I believe.
Wow.
So, yeah, looking forward to that. But I look at other ones as well. The one thing I'll say is I enjoy the exercise because it makes me more familiar with the players and what the Colts could or couldn't do in potential trades, but it really is a crapshoot. And I think that sometimes people get a little too attached to the mock drafts and kind of lose sight that, hey, this is all guesswork at the end of the day. It's educated guesswork, but the real thing is the only thing that matters.
How much is Jim Irsay usually involved in these decisions, whether it's trade up, trade down, who to pick? And how has it changed with his health situation? Is he going to have the same role this year?
I do think that maybe Jim Irsay's role has been a bit overstated over the last few years. Obviously, the hiring of Jeff Saturday was the bombshell that kind of made everyone kind of look at him sideways. But for the most part, throughout his career, or not throughout his career, but throughout his tenure as an owner, I believe he stayed pretty much handoff with it comes to drafting players, where they pick, moving back, moving up, things like that. He trusts Chris Ballard. He trusts Shane Steichen in the scouting department. And so I think that he's going to, you know, kind of lay back on this one. And also, from a help standpoint, the last update we got from Chris Ballard was at the Combine. And he said that he had talked to Jim Irsay, had a conversation with him for a while. He seems to be on the mend. I have not seen him or heard from him personally. But, you know, of course, if he's having a conversation with Chris Ballard, his voice will be heard because he is the owner.
Talking to James Boyd from The Athletic, covers the Indianapolis Colts beat. All right, James, so what boxes need to be checked in this draft for the Indianapolis Colts? You already mentioned corner is appealing, but what do the Colts need to get out of this draft?
I think for me, when I look at the first three rounds, I would love for them to go after a cornerback, a wide receiver, and an edge rusher, no matter what order you put them in. I think those are the three biggest positions of need and three of the most impactful positions on an NFL roster. If you do that, I think they're going to be in good shape. And, you know, I know that they, in my opinion, they have a hole at cornerback. But, man, I'm like, man, should they lean towards offense just because of how, you know, good Shane Steichen is with offensive players, how much Anthony Richardson, you know, will probably be elevated with another playmaker. So I think that those two positions are ones I'm leaning towards. It's a toss-up between wide receiver and cornerback for me at the tip-top. But we'll see how what they do.
I know, James, you follow some other sports. So who's going to ultimately be the coach down in Kentucky?
That's a good question. I really have no idea. If you would have told me that, you know, Calipari would be at Kentucky, I would have told you, you know, when's the next eclipse or something like that, because this can only happen in a year like this. I'm not exactly sure. I will say this, though. I saw a podcast the other day where DeMarcus Cousins was saying, it's in Rajon Rondo, and I'm like, no, I've had enough of, you know, teams hiring coaches who do not have previous head coaching experience. So I'll take a pass on that.
Well, I think it's funny because I'm not even sure we can classify Calipari as a coach right now at Arkansas because he has no team. No scholarship players on that roster right now. How ridiculous is that?
That is unheard of, in my opinion. And I think it's funny because of not only him being in that position, but just the nature of college sports right now. He's going to have a roster, and a lot of it is going to be built through the transfer portal and maybe some fifth- or sixth-year guys. So he's going to have a team. It's going to take some time to get it done. But he's really in the perfect spot to maybe not have a roster because the rules have changed. You can get the one-time transfer and things like that now.
Yep, everybody was a free agent. They all departed. You know, the state of college basketball, which the landscape has changed so dramatically over the last couple of years, coaches now aren't negotiating just their income. They're negotiating the NIL fund. But also, it was announced that DePaul hired LaVal Jordan as their general manager. You ever hear of a general manager in college basketball?
No, but I mean, I never heard of some of these different roles. When I covered Illinois athletics, when I went to the University of Illinois, they had just implemented like a new program. They had this big seminar. They were breaking down different roles for NIL. And it's just a different world now. And you either get with it or you get left behind.
James Boyd, always appreciate you jumping on with us. I know we'll probably talk to you again as we lead up to this draft. Have a great one, man.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Yep. James Boyd joining us here on the Sports Rush. Coming up on the other side of the break, it's going to be Eric Dutkevich from Parkview Sports Medicine. Number of things to talk to Dude about, but a huge Purdue fan. So we're going to have to lead off with his thoughts on the Purdue Boilermakers. Not only their Final Four run, their championship loss, but we'll have to ask him about the names Mason Gillis and Ethan Morton entering the transfer portal.
No game tonight.
No game tonight.
Parkview Field.
Oh, breaking news. We just got it. Tonight's game is a washout. No game tonight. So there you go. But did they announce any when the plan would be? Is there going to be a – I mean, unless they play doubleheaders the next 2 days, it ain't going to happen. And no. I don't think they're going to play doubleheaders back-to-back days.
We will. We'll figure out what's going on with that.
Okay, we'll check that out. By the way, we've got Comet tickets we want to give away.
Yeah, do we want to do a text or a caller?
We're going to do a text.
Okay.
All you got to do is text us, and today's text word is Kelly Cup, something we hope the Comets have a chance to compete for.
Yeah.
Kelly Cup.
Yep. These are it's a four-pack of tickets to tomorrow's night's game against the Indy Fuel. If you want to win, text Kelly Cup to 46862. You got to be able to come pick them up tomorrow.
Yep, you do have to pick them up here. They are actual printed hard copy tickets, so you have to pick them up tomorrow during our business hours. But then you can go to Comet Hockey. You say it's a four-pack?
It is a four-pack.
Wow, four tickets, too, and decent seats. So go ahead and jump on your text line, 46862. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. And text Kelly Cup to win a four-pack of tickets to see the Comets and the Indy Fuel. We'll take a break, and we'll come back. Eric Dutkevich on the other side. It's the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Adam Lundy. It is a little bit of a drizzly, leaky, wet type of Thursday. Perfect weather to bring in our next guest. I don't know what the parallel is, but... hey, I got to have some kind of segue. So it is from Parkview Sports Medicine. It is Eric Dutkevich. Dut, how are you on this rainy Thursday?
Well, the course is softer, but it's going to bounce back by the weekend. So I think that's the way to look at it.
Now, is that for you hitting the balls or for you watching the Masters? Which are you doing? Thursday, your work week is over there at Parkview Sports Medicine. So I know by Thursday you're either on the course or you're watching golf. Which one is it, Dut?
Yes, I'm more of the watcher. I'm more of the ride around in the golf cart kind of guy, and figure out what trouble I can get into.
Dut drives the beer cart. I like Dut.
Yeah, I've been known to do that as well. There you go.
Eric Dutkevich joining us here on the Sports Rush. It's been a busy week, and for a Purdue fan, I don't know how you feel about the finish to the year. Yes, the Final Four was a reality. And you break a 44-year streak of not making it to the Final Four, but you fall short of the national championship. Your thoughts on the weekend that was with the Boilermakers?
Well, yeah, I think first and foremost for me personally, just getting to the Final Four was a hump that they finally got over. And as a Purdue fan, a lot of people have waited a long time, first time in my lifetime, just to get there. I mean, that Elite Eight game against Tennessee was pretty crazy. We were at a family Easter, and my wife's family quickly figured out how big of a Purdue fan I truly am. But realistically, I mean, to get there, to get to that point, that was great. And, of course, they do take care of business ultimately against NC State to get the national championship game. You know, the NC State game was not their best game. And then, of course, UConn just absolutely impressive and just, you know, handled that game, the whole game, and a really good team. So, I mean, ultimately, yes, it's disappointing that they couldn't finish it all and get the national championship. Like players had said, you know, in some of the media availability, that was kind of the goal. But, you know, to get back to the Final Four, especially after the year that was a year ago and losing to the 16th seed FDU, and just... you know, that senior class, 110 wins, and Zach Edey, two-time National Player of the Year, and just a lot of things, 34 wins in a year. I mean, that is some incredible stuff to see from Purdue. And I think, you know, I don't know when the next time it'll happen again as far as getting to the Final Four and maybe beyond, but I think that's what Purdue fans have come to realize that they, you know, I can speak for myself, especially just the appreciation for what they did. And also, too, you know, next year when there might be a little bit of a slip, we can appreciate that, too, because, you know, if you win every year, you don't get to celebrate like the Purdue fans did in Phoenix last week. And I think that there's something to be said about that as well.
How close is UConn to being considered a dynasty? At what point can we start to use that term with what UConn is doing right now? It seems like there's no slowing down the Huskies.
Yeah. Well, I feel like, you know, when we talk a lot of times as far as, you know, the NFL and the NBA and, you know, it's like the number three in a row or 3 in 4 years or, you know, kind of what the Chiefs have been able to do in the last. So I think for UConn, they're kind of right there, like back-to-back 6 and 25 years, and it took a long time to get there too. I mean, you know, Jim Calhoun came in, I think, 1986. They didn't make their first Final Four until 1999. Oh yeah, by the way, 6 national championships in that time frame. So, you know, when you figure it out, sometimes it just bodes well, and they were able to do it with three different coaches. Well, you know, I think Dan Hurley gets a lot of grief from people outside the way he coaches and some of the antics. But, I mean, if you watch that UConn team, what they were able to do, they lost, you know, five of their, you know, top eight scorers, I think it was, from a year ago. Transfer portal really helped them. And playing well, and that's all. And credit to them, the ability to completely change the way that they were going to, you know, defend against Purdue. It, all year long had been, we got a double and triple team Edie. They took the complete opposite approach of saying, we're going to do single, you know, one-on-one and really guard the perimeter. And, I mean, that was a masterclass in shutting down a high-scoring offense, a great shooting team like Purdue was. And, you know, if you would have told me Purdue only misses 6 3-pointers in the national championship, I would have said they win. Problem is, they only took 7, and they made 1. And that's a credit to the defense and the strategy that the Huskies had.
Eric Dudkevich joining us right here on the Sports Rush. All right, let's talk about what's happened with the Purdue Boilermakers in the short time since they played that national championship game on Monday night. Apparently, it's one of those things where, what's the old phrase? You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. That maybe should be the offseason motto for the Purdue Boilermakers, because you've got Ethan Morton, Mason Gillis, who both have exhausted 4 years, but they get the COVID year, but they're not going to be coming back to Purdue. Your thoughts on the transfer portal gaining the names of Mason Gillis and Ethan Morton?
Well, I think that's kind of the bad side of the way that Purdue teams was set up, if you could look at it that way. You know, the idea that most of these guys came back from a year ago. I mean, really what Purdue lost was Brandon Newman and then David Jenkins, who was a fifth-year transfer in. And so they get in Lance Jones, but really the rest of that team was intact from over the course of 2 years. So the issue becomes the scholarship limits, the number of people on the team, and realistically the minutes. I mean, we saw that, you know, Caleb First, who sacrificed for it, Matt Painter pointed it out, Ethan Morton, who basically came in for foul to give duty in the late stages of the season. And so I think for them, obviously there's not enough spots. You're going to bring in some new people, but I think probably to those guys, they probably understood that. They realized what they had coming back. This is an opportunity to be a Final Four caliber team, which they were able to do. And now they can go somewhere. They can graduate from Purdue University, get their degree, go elsewhere, play another year of college basketball, and, you know, maybe not play for a team that was like the Purdue of this year, but have some opportunity to kind of spread their wings a little bit, get some different coaching, and maybe make some inroads and some networking, whereas, you know, maybe they're going to be coaches down the line. They can get some networking opportunities and start on that next phase of their basketball careers.
Eric, got to talk to you a little bit about high school basketball. Yes, the season has ended, and we move into the off season. But there's a couple of coaches that will no longer be coaching their ball clubs. And I'll tell you what, a couple of good ones, man. You want to talk about guys that did it the right way, built some really good, successful teams. You got to have a lot of respect for both Kerry Cogdell and Matt Kostoff from Leo and Bishop Dwenger, respectively, calling it a coaching career, or at least stepping aside at the current moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Two guys who've been around a long time, you know, 20 years or more, you know, 20 seasons for Coach Cogdell at Leo, and then Matt Kostoff with 25 years at Dwenger. And, you know, 301 actually for Kostoff, and then 293 for Kerry Cogdell between Leo and Sal Adams and his two stints. So, I mean, realistically, this is a team. These are two coaches that have been around a long time, that have won a lot of games, won a lot of championships, even in those years where they didn't necessarily win a lot of games to win those championships. It's kind of remarkable. That's kind of the way some of the 3A sectionals play out, especially that sectional where those two teams were in it together for since they went to the class basketball system in Indiana. But yeah, two great coaches and two respectful guys and respected guys in their profession. And you know, it's a tough it's tough to coach that long and to go through it. And I think their careers have shown that, you know, they've done a lot for their particular schools. And I think for them, they can be satisfied for what they've been able to do. And ultimately, when you're a high school coach, it's not just about winning games in basketball. It's getting the kids ready for the real world after that in the next phases in their life. And some of the names that we've seen come out of Dwanger and Leo in the last, you know, 20 years or so, they've been great. I think of the Eiferts, and I think of DJ Allen and Livingston and the Davidson boys at Leo and the Lehrmans from Dwanger. So the opportunity to see those guys have successful careers at the high school level, to go on to college and whatever they're able to do, but then also to look back and be like, you know, we won championships in high school basketball in the state of Indiana. I think as a coach, you can be proud of that, and I think Kostoff and Cogdill certainly leave those legacies at their two respective schools.
And, of course, dude, I got to circle back. You mentioned the Masters, so I'm going to give you a chance to end on this. The Masters this weekend, who do you like?
Well, I think obviously everybody's talking about Scottie Scheffler, you know, jumping off the page, the overwhelming favorite here, and just what he's been able to do so far this year coming into this with back-to-back wins, you know, back-to-back Players' Championship wins, two wins in the last three starts, and three top five finishes already this year. So, obviously, the name to watch. I still always come back to that Victor Hovland, you know, from Norway. I'm waiting for him to have that final breakthrough. You know, he was there. He won the FedEx Cup at the end of the year, had two big wins in the playoffs, never won a major. He was second last year, seventh in the Masters, second and then another major, and so I'm waiting for that breakout. So those are the two guys that I'm really watching. Of course, Ricky Fowler winning the par three contest, never won a major. It's been a long time since he's been even in the Masters. You know, how does he carry that momentum from yesterday into the rest of this tournament and trying to make the cut? And of course, can't go wrong with watching Tiger too. He's back and trying to continue his career, and always exciting to see how he does in major events like this.
And, dude, I know today might not be the perfect day to talk about getting tickets, coming out and enjoying high school baseball at Parkview Field, but it is that time of year.
Mm-hmm.
The Parkview Baseball Series coming back, and it's sneaking up on us.
Yeah, the PSM Baseball Classic will return this May, May 2nd, 7th, and 8th, and 9th, I believe, and at Parkview Field. It's just a great way to highlight some high school baseball out at Parkview Field and the wonderful stadium that is now 15 years old. This is the 15th season for Parkview Field, and Parkview Sports Medicine has been great to work alongside the Tin Caps and their staff there and the staff at Parkview Field the last couple of years to bring the PSM Baseball Classic downtown. A modified schedule this year. We can't play as many games just due to the new field and also the Tin Cap schedule, but wanted to have that opportunity and get some teams out there. So that's coming in May. You can find the full schedule at ParkviewSportsMedicine.com as well as the Tin Caps and Parkview Field websites. And then obviously ticket information will be available there too. And we're looking forward to the number of games and a number of teams that are having the opportunity to play down there. And we appreciate that, and at no cost to those schools either, partnering with those schools to fund that, PSM schools and non-PSM schools alike, and we just like that opportunity for those kids to play at that beautiful stadium downtown.
One thing I do want to make a point of today, dude, while we've got you, is for those that maybe just came off their season, whether it was a fall season, whether it was winter season, and you weren't happy with the amount of playing time you got. Well, before you complain about it to your friends or complain about it behind the coach's back, do something about it. And that's what the EDGE program is there for. It's not just there to take elite athletes to the next level. It's there for the guy that just wants to get his playing time, just wants to have an impact maybe at the high school level. But that's what it's there for. Give us some more details on the EDGE program.
Yeah, our EDGE program is a year-round PSM performance training program that really is helpful to people's schedule as well. We realize that people have different sports seasons. Maybe they're multiple sport athletes. Maybe, you know, a Saturday is best for them too. We have Saturday sessions as well. But the EDGE program really helps all of the athletes in our system just get better, whether they are trying to make that varsity team or maybe they do have aspirations of playing at the college level or one day at the professional level. Just taking that and learning, you know, how to work with the athletes to make them better. It's not just the sports-specific training that will make them better in their sport, but long-term athletic development so that they can go out and be better at everything and, you know, run faster, jump higher, be stronger, so no matter what they're doing, whatever their sport is, what level they're playing at, they're able to earn their edge and become more in everything that they do.
Dude, have a great weekend. Enjoy the Masters. We'll talk to you again next week.
Certainly will. Have a good one.
Yep, that is Eric Dude. Dude Kevis joining us here on the Sports Rush on our guest line. Hey, a quick reminder, Tin Caps Baseball all weekend long at Parkview Field. Of course, we've got coverage, and the programming note is that Saturday you'll get a lot more Tin Caps Baseball than you bargained for, because Saturday is going to be the doubleheader. They will make up last night's rainout, and so Saturday, getting started at the same time, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They didn't move the start time up, but at the same time, 1 o'clock. Imagine the folks who don't know about the rainout. They show up on Saturday. First of all, they end the game after 7 innings. There's going to be people in the stands saying, geez, that's crazy. I thought they played 9 innings. They must have changed that rule. And then all of a sudden, there's another game that starts. Because I guarantee you, Adam, every year when we have the rescheduled rainouts, there's always people that have a ticket to the day when the rainout's going to be made up that have no idea. So like the ones that get moved to a weekday and they start them at like 5:30 or 6 o'clock, there's always people that show up at the ballpark at the regular starting time, and they're always like looking around like, wait a minute, what? Checking their ticket to see what the start time was on their ticket, trying to figure out exactly what's happening. And there's going to be people heading for the gates that somebody's going to have to tell them, by the way, there's another game. But 2 7-inning games on Saturday. They start at 1 o'clock at Parkview Field. And then on Sunday, it is the autograph session after the game presented by Midwest Box Breaks. And what's really cool about this is you get a chance. I mean, they're going to be sitting, signing your autographs. Now, it's one autograph per person. You can't sit and hog up the line. But it is an opportunity to get an autograph from future major leaguers. And we have no guarantees, but I'm just telling you right now, Ethan Salas is on this roster. Take advantage of it while he is. And Sunday's supposed to be a beautiful day. It's supposed to have perfect weather. So that might be the day to join the Tin Caps out at Parkview Field. But we've got your broadcast of all Tin Caps baseball games right here, 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. We'll come back next, wrap things up. I got to get downtown, see what's happening. Find out what the tonight and the rest of the week holds. So we'll do that next here on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Back final time for the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Adam Lundy. And, of course, the news earlier today that the Tin Caps not going to be playing tonight against Lake County. Just too much wet weather, not only over the last 24 hours, but also what's in the forecast tonight. So the Tin Caps not on the schedule this evening. Enjoy your Fox Sports radio programming. And that means, too, that I've got to find something to eat. Normally they got that nice spread in the press box. I guess I'm not going to get the nice spread tonight. I might have to be one of those Pizza Hut nights tonight. So fun show. I'll also have to get caught up with Masters and follow that progress. And, of course, all weekend long, we've got your Masters updates right here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. So you can always know what's happening at Augusta. That's right here all weekend on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Thanks to our guest, Pat Boylan, in hour number one. Also, James Boyd from The Athletic. And, of course, Eric Duke Kevich from Parkview Sports Medicine. We'll be back tomorrow, 4 to 6, to get you into your sports weekend with another edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.